Welcome to MTSU on the Record. Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the historic Tom Jackson Building on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. When the words nonprofit organization are mentioned, charitable groups come to mind. Yet the word nonprofit tends to make one think that while the group's mission may be noble and needed, its overall impact on the economy is nil. A new study by Dr. Marat Arik, Associate Director of MTSU's Business and Economic Research Center, shows that this is not true in the Nashville metropolitan statistical area. The report was prepared for the Center for Nonprofit Management. We'll discuss the economic impact of nonprofit organizations after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. An MTSU nursing professor is the 2013 recipient of the Tennessee Nurses Association's Excellence in Nursing Education Award. Dr. Deborah Rose Wilson received the honor October 18th at the group's annual convention in Murfreesboro. MTSU has a new student ministry group called Club Destiny. Club stands for Christ Leading Us Back. The non-denominational organization's mission is to minister to college students with simplicity, with an ultimate goal of, quote, leading them back to Christ. And friends and colleagues will honor MTSU President Sidney A. McPhee and his wife Elizabeth at the City School Foundation's 7th Annual Excellence in Education Celebration, Friday, January 24th. The celebration will take place at Stones River Country Club in Murfreesboro. For MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUnews.com.
Marat, thanks for coming back. It's been too long.
It's great to be here, Gina. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Let's start out with definitions and methodology. How do you define economic impact for purposes of this study?
We use several methods to quantify the economic impact of the nonprofit sector. I'm going to briefly go over some of the things that we did just to clarify what we are really talking about.
Sure.
You know, it's what we did, first look at national studies and then arrive at a common definition of nonprofit sector for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And these are basically public charities, welfare organizations, and trade associations. And from there, we go ahead and screen this database and a database that we purchased from charitable organizations, Center for Charitable Organizations, and excluded churches, strict religious organizations, and any organizations having less than $25,000 revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, of course, the last step is looking at their, you know, whatever left actually their total revenue, mm-hmm, and expenditure. And basically that's how we, you know, move forward to calculate the economic impact. Economic impact has, I just want to clarify one thing about the economic impact. Normally when we talk about economic impact, we are talking about something, a monetary value that is new to the local economy. When you look at the overall nonprofit sector, you know, so you have, you know, it's some regional contributions. You have also money flowing from out of the area.
Right.
And when we talk about strictly economic impact, we are talking about the money coming from out of the area. Here we use a different also approach, that is what we call economic contributions. That's basically take care of everything, all the expenditures associated with the nonprofit sector, not just the economic impact, but also all other locally generated money.
Right, in state and out of state, in area and out of area. And you're talking about how much these groups spend in the Nashville area.
That's true. How much they spend, that's the critical part. But in order to identify what portion of that spending comes from out of the area, we have to look at the revenue stream too.
Right.
And that's from there then we actually look at or apportion the expenditure based on the, you know, the fraction of the money coming from out of the region.
Mm-hmm. You found that the nonprofit sector lures in $2.7 billion from outside the MSA, and that accounts for $6.12 billion in business revenue. Explain how that works.
And here is how it works. You know, according to our estimates, one in every $3 of the nonprofit revenue basically come from outside the MSA area. It's a one in every $3. And then we actually use a model called IMPLAN. It's a regional economic impact assessment model, and it's calibrated for the region, MSA area. And this amount, $7 billion basically used as an input into the system. And then when you input that money or spend that money in the economy, that money will be the wages and salaries for many individuals in the region, and also the revenues for many businesses in the region, because you go there and spend at local shop or store, and that basically spending, nonprofit spending, will be the revenue of that store. And then that basically, the chain of spending continue in the region, you know, until actually everything settles down. And basically, what we call, you know, the whole process, both the business-to-business spending and the wages of the employees, we call these two items as direct, induced and indirect effect of the direct spending that takes place in the economy.
So, for an example, might be a consumer going to the Goodwill store to lay down their money at Goodwill for items that have been refurbished by disabled persons, and then that money goes back into the community after it goes into Goodwill, because Goodwill needs things that they have to purchase and bills they have to pay, keep the lights on, and all that kind of thing.
That's true, and also Goodwill pays for the salaries of its employees, and that's also when you get your salaries, you go out and spend that money in the local economy, and that's also the part of the whole equation.
Is that what they call the multiplier effect?
That's what we call multiplier effect, and when you actually add these multipliers, we end up having somewhere around $6 billion economic impact. This is strictly what we call economic impact, net new in the local economy. That means, you know, if you don't have this nonprofit, you are not going to have this money in this local economy. That's what it means.
Most nonprofit organizations benefit from a lot of volunteer labor. Obviously, if you don't have to pay a lot of wages and benefits to employees, then you're going to save that much more money. So what did you find out about the amount of wages paid to those who are salaried at these nonprofit organizations, most of whom I would suppose would be at the top?
You know, it's, in terms of the nonprofit wages, we didn't have the direct salary figures for them. But based on how much money they spend, you know, it's, and the modeling that we did, we arrive at certain kind of, you know, figures about the wages and salaries. And in the model, in the report, actually, what we call them is labor income. It's basically, you know, based on our estimates, the total, in terms of the significance, total contributions to the labor income is around $9.3 billion.
Just in the Nashville metropolitan statistical area.
That's right. This is the total contributions. The economic impact component that we are talking about is around $2.67 billion. It's just significant, again, contribution. This includes direct, indirect, and induced wages and benefits paid for the people in the region.
We'll have more about this study in just a moment. We'll take a break. This is MTSU on the Record.
The annual Baseball and Literature and Culture Conference at MTSU welcomes scholars from all over the country to present papers on numerous baseball-related topics. Their research highlights the national pastime's impact on everything from race relations to the economy and the sport's depiction in poetry and novels. The conference has attracted all-stars and Hall of Famers, including Denny McClain and Ferguson Jenkins. For the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Dr. Murat Arik, Associate Director of the Business and Economic Research Center here at MTSU. We're talking about a study about nonprofit organizations in the Nashville area. From what sources did you collect your data for the study, Murat?
We use, as I mentioned in my initial statements, actually, we use several methods to calculate the data. And the one thing I didn't mention there is the survey that we conducted in the region.
Mm-hmm.
We basically identify number of organizations that fit into the classification that we had initially.
Right.
And then we survey those organizations. And that's the one part of the data that we use. And that's it was actually a critically important component because that data allow us to really see, you know, what's going on in terms of the impact of the economic crisis and many other things in the region.
Right.
And the second source of data we use is the general socioeconomic data, you know, published widely available by, you know, federal organizations, institutions. The purpose was to look at, again, you know, so overall, you know, how the region is doing, what we have in terms of population-wise, income-wise, you know, just to get a sense of what we are dealing with in the region. The third source is the data from National Center for Charitable Statistics. And this, every year, this organization gets all the IRS filings and compile and, you know, it's a, create a standardized database.
It's sort of a clearinghouse.
Clearinghouse. That's exactly the word, actually. You know, it's a, and that's a critical source, actually, for this kind of studies. Although we rely on survey, we still use them. We use that data for double-check to make sure that we are really covering everything that we are supposed to be covering.
And that's very handy, too, because the IRS, in my understanding, is super, super tight on who they allow direct access to their data if you go to the agency directly.
That's true. And one of the cool things also that we, you know, during our search, actually, we noticed is that in, for the large companies, you can access to IRS 990 forms filled by those organizations, the actual data there. Of course, it's extremely time-consuming, but we also use for some organizations to compile our database, you know, especially for some of the largest organizations, we had to do that to make sure that we are covering everything or accounting for the true size of the nonprofit sector in the economy.
Right.
And we use public charities. These are 501c3.
Okay.
And we use civic league and social welfare. That is 501c4. And then we use business leagues and associations. That is 501c6. This is consistent with the literature out there. You know, we didn't really want to reinvent everything or anything here. You
right.
know, it's just basically produce something consistent with the national studies so that our clients also here, sponsoring organization, you know, be able to compare what we have with the, you know, some other areas.
And the sponsoring organization, once again, as we said in the introduction, is the Center for Nonprofit Management.
Yes, that's true.
What sorts of services do these organizations provide? Are these public health services? Are they artistic organizations?
It's basically a mixture of all those things, and it's amazing how diverse the sector is, actually. I want to really emphasize that aspect. And we look at the broader level. We didn't want to get into too much detail because if you look at the IRS classifications, some national classifications also out there, you end up getting about 80 different, you know, subsectors. You know, it's a lumped together.
You'd still be doing the study.
You'd still be doing. But what we did, actually, we actually aggregated at the, you know, it's five or six sectors or major areas. What we have here, education institutions. You may be surprised to hear that Vanderbilt is a nonprofit organization that fits into this classification. For example, Vanderbilt, Belmont, Lipscomb, these are the nonprofit organizations. But MTSU, TSU, these are public education institutions. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't fit in these, you know, state institutions, public institutions do not fit into the classification we have. Just to clarify that point, actually.
Right.
And we have education, we have human health services, especially human services segment is really a big one. You know, it's basically serving, you know, people out there at the forefront. And the third major category is healthcare institutions, basically hospitals. Yeah. You know, some of the large hospitals in the region, they are classified as nonprofit.
Probably because they do so much indigent care.
That's one thing. The other thing is many of them associate with certain religious affiliations, like Baptist Hospital, for
St. Thomas.
St. Thomas. And these are organized as nonprofit. You know, it's healthcare organizations. So, I mean, in our sample, actually, we have these organizations too. And we have large number of art-related organizations, and those are also in our study. It's basically, overall, we have, you know, we are covering from education to civic institutions out there. You know, it's from Rotary International, chambers, hospitals, and,
Optimist,
you know,
Club, Ruritan.
That's
the
nice
Lions Club. Which provides free eyeglasses for the poor.
That's right.
All kinds of things.
That's right. And these are the. I mean, the when you look at the overall landscape, you have a very diverse institution and organizations fitting into this classification. We cover all of them.
We'll take one more break. We'll be right back with more on MTSU on the Record.
The Tennessee Employment Relations Research Association, or TERRA, gives labor relations specialists and academics a chance to share their views and their data. TERRA wants academics and other interested in human resources and industrial relations to work together at meetings and conferences to strengthen the workplace. Many MTSU faculty belong to TERRA, which has members in 20 states and 7 nations. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
Continuing our discussion with Dr. Murad Arik, Associate Director of the Business and Economic Research Center at MTSU, talking about a study about nonprofit organizations and their impact on the Nashville area. One of your statistics is that there was a 10.2% revenue growth for Nashville's nonprofits between 2008 and 2010. How do you account for that when that was a time when the economy overall was not exactly thriving? How did that happen?
That's a very nice question, important question, and critical question. It seems, you know, a little bit contradictory. You know, we have huge spending cut, mm-hmm. and it's gonna it's already affecting actually many organizations. You have economic crisis, donations are low. You know, you have this environment, but yet, you know, when you look at the official data, you see a 10% increase in their revenues. That's actually seems initially puzzling, but when you look at you know, this sector itself, with a critical eye, you could actually easily justify, because economic crisis also create needs out there to be served, and that needs actually create additional nonprofit organizations that should that basically emerges and serves those needs.
And cuts in government services essentially sends more business to the nonprofits, because you have more people in need who have got to get what they need somewhere.
That's true. And just to give you For example, you know, we are talking about Habitat for Humanity. You know, it's creating, actually building homes for the low-income needy ones. And during the economic crisis periods, those kind of needs increased dramatically. And somebody actually should address those needs. And you could see some sort of shuffling, actually, within the nonprofit sector, while, you know, some experiencing, you know, it's a certain level of decline in revenues. But some others, really, for some others, this is a kind of golden opportunity to step in, raise funding, or maybe create some goods and services that could actually be channeled toward the needs of the population in the region.
They can go to Habitat, for example, can go to corporations and say, this is your chance in a time when people really hate big business to create enormous public relations goodwill for
That's
your
an
company.
Interesting take.
If you would like to donate some money to us, Mr. Corporation, please. You know, the need is now more than ever.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. But, you know, it's a definitely, you could see. Yeah, the crisis environments always, I mean, for many, especially for businesses, it doesn't have to be non-profit. Some of, in many cases, actually, for profit businesses too, the crisis environment is golden opportunity to introduce something new, to rebuild yourself, to reinvent yourself, you know, to make something new. And I believe what we have here in the non-profit sector is something similar to that effect.
To me, this is one of your staggering findings. One in every three people over the age of 16 has volunteered in some way in the nonprofit sector in the Nashville metropolitan statistical area. One in every three. Doesn't that just blow your mind?
That's a great finding, and the volunteering is really significant in the region, and it blows my mind. The findings here did not come from the survey of individuals. It came from the survey of businesses, non-profit businesses, organizations. It's basically we are accounting their own, looking at their own volunteer roles. Actually.
Right.
How
so
many?
The data come from the non-profit organization's own tabulations of how many
right.
people volunteer for them.
That's right. Because of that, it's a solid data, but, you know, for example, one individual may volunteer for you mm-hmm. and also may go and volunteer for another nonprofit organization at
right.
different time.
It might volunteer for two or three different organizations.
That's true. You know, that's a little bit, you know, it's just, you know, not cautionary, actually. The data is solid, but, you know, just to be aware of, you know, it's how we arrive at this figure.
Even if you take into account that some individuals will volunteer for two or three or more organizations, it still, from a human and sociological point of view, it says a lot about the people and the quality of people in the area. Now, I know this is not your area of expertise. You're here to crunch the numbers. You're not here to provide sociological analysis. But from a human standpoint, that's still very impressive.
It's the numbers are impressive. And we are talking about nonprofit sector volunteering, you know, just it's a kind of separate segment there. $1 billion effort business in the Nashville MSA area. This is a big number. The organization don't have to spend that money on wages.
Right.
If you have volunteering. Organizations then use that volunteer, keep the wages and salaries that they are supposed to pay for people during the service, and then spend that money on the more needs, you know, available out there.
We'll have one more break here, and we'll return with more on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques. Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the Academic Common Market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, Director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
In our final moments with Dr. Murad Arik, Associate Director of the BERC, as it's called around here, the Business and Economic Research Center, did you make any comparisons between the Nashville MSA and other MSAs?
We did. In fact, you know, we look at 9 other MSAs, and these MSAs are similar in size in terms of population. And we did that comparison, and we used the same set of data for each of those those MSAs out there, and see how we are really doing.
And some were in the southeast, and some were not.
So it's kind of, yes, some of them in southeast, some of them not. For example, we have one in Ohio, you know, it's Columbus, Ohio. We have Richmond, Virginia, still southeast, that's true. We have Kansas City, you know, it's a kind of diverse group of MSAs,
right.
Somewhat similar in population, in terms of size of the population. But the way we selected these MSAs is that we use Nashville Chamber of Commerce's, the peer MSA definitions, usually. And we selected, you know, we didn't actually use all of them. We just selected the one that are closer to Nashville in terms of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Because many of the nonprofit things, efforts actually driven by the population. So we have to be very careful on which MSAs we are using for comparison.
And how did Nashville's nonprofit sector stack up against those other MSAs?
You know, in fact, Nashville did very well. And we used several indicators. You know, we used establishment size and percent of the nonprofit establishment in the overall economy. We use nonprofit revenue as percent of local GDP. We use nonprofit revenue per capita. You know, we standardize all the indicators. And we also use nonprofit expenditure per capita. These are the set of indicators, one set of indicators that we used. And then another set was about diversity, how diverse the nonprofit sector is, you know, across these MSAs.
The different missions of the different organizations.
That's true. Different mission and how strong that different mission is. If you look at those two categories. And the overall ranking shows that Nashville is third among these, you know, 10 MSAs, including Nashville. And that's, in fact, is a very good ranking for Nashville. We have Raleigh, North Carolina, and Indianapolis, Indiana. They are at the top two. But we are third in the ranking. This is a nice team effort, social effort, you know, so all the folks coming together, volunteers, you know, making this thing happen. Without them, you know, you may not see a flourishing nonprofit sector.
It's nice to hear some positive economic news for a change.
Okay.
And you can download the entire study yourself at the BERC website, which is what, Murad?
mtsu.edu/BERC. B-E-R-C.
Dr. Murad Arik, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.